Dark night, gentleman was walking home as he normally does from work. He realized it was quite late, and so as his habit was many times, he'd cut through the cemetery so he could get home a little earlier. And as he was doing that, he was unaware that a fresh grave had been dug, and he fell in the hole. And he tries and tries and tries and jumps and tries to pull himself out, and he begins to realize this is not going to happen. And so he decides to sit down in the corner and cover up and whatever and wait for daylight. And he's kind of dozed off, and all of a sudden he heard another noise and he woke up and another gentleman had fallen in the hole. And he does the same. He jumps, he claws, he claws, he tries to get out of the hole. And finally the other man sitting there and realizing what was going on, he simply said, "Mister, you're not going to get out of here." But he did. Well, I don't know if that explains how the dead are going to rise. But I do know this. The Bible says that all that are in the grave will hear His voice and will come forth. I do know that. All means all that are in the grave. Verse 29, if you will, of our particular text says, "Those who did the good deeds to the resurrection of life, and those who had did evil to the resurrection of judgment." Did you get the difference? Those who are serving and walking in a right relationship with God will be risen from the grave, but they will be resurrected unto life. Okay? But those who have done evil and have not lived in a right relationship with God will be raised to judgment. You understand that being a Christian, your judgment has already been satisfied by the blood of Jesus Christ. That through the blood of Christ we are justified, pronounced not guilty. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been removed as far as the east is from the west. That's why Christ went to the cross. In John's writing to the Revelation, he says in Revelation 20, verses 12 through 13, said, "I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up its dead, and which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds." So we're going to be judged according to what we have done in this body that we are living in at this point in time. In our text, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, Jesus said through the Apostle Paul, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep," meaning that we'll not all taste death, "but we shall all be changed." We shall all be changed. Verse 49, "Just as we are born the image of the earthly," remember, "we will bear the image of the heavenly." Verse 42:44. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown perishable, but will be raised imperishable." Okay? "And it is raised imperishable." Perishable means that it decays, it corrupts. And that aspect of something that is perishable, it can rotten, it can decay, etc. And so our body is from the dust it shall return. It is perishable. That's exactly what God said, wasn't it, in Genesis 3:19, when He said to Adam, "The sweat of your brow, your face, you will eat bread till you turn to the ground, because from it you were taken, and from it the dust you shall return." And that is exactly what happens, isn't it? Everybody's aware of that, right? You know that scientists can prove that the chemical substances of your body are the same chemical substance that is found in clay. You were created by God. Your body was created from the dust of the ground or whatever. Little boy returned from home, went to his mommy and said, "Mommy, is it true that God created us from dust?" "Yeah, why?" "Was it true that when we die, we go back to the dust?" "Yeah, that's what the Bible says." "Well, Mommy, somebody's coming and going under my bed." But we shall return as it is. And so in reference to that aspect, you and I have a physical body, a mortal body that is perishable and does decay. And when it is sown into the ground, it is sown, if you will, in dishonor. But when it is going to be raised from the ground, according to God's word, it will be raised in glory. In reference to the transfiguration, if you remember, Peter, James, and John are there. The disciples are experiencing this unbelievable experience with the Lord. They see two other men there. They see Moses and Elijah. Luke's account is that as they looked upon Moses and Elijah, they were appearing in glory. All right? And when they had fallen asleep, according to Luke's writing, they woke up, and when they looked upon the Lord, they saw Him in His glory. They saw them in their glorified state. And that is exactly what you and I someday are going to share with our Lord. We're going to be changed from a dishonorable, perishable, decaying body, and we're going to be raised and given a glorified body. A glorified body. Paul speaks of this in Colossians 1, 26, 27. He says, "This is the mystery, which has been hidden from generation to generation, past ages, but has now been manifested, made very clear to the saints." That's you and me, okay? "Made very clear to the saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of His glory. Of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, whenever you see that word glory in the context, you're talking about something that gleams, is white and shiny and beautiful and eye-catching and sharing in that glory of the Lord. So, and as it was again in the Transfiguration, when the disciples looked upon Jesus, this is what Matthew says, while He was praying, His appearance of His face became different. And His clothing became white and gleaming. Remember, Luke says they saw Him in His glory. In answer to the Sadducees, they wanted to know about this woman who had been married seven times, whose brothers had married them, and on as it went, and they had died. And their question was, well, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And Jesus answered in Luke 20, verses 34 and 38, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to obtain to the age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry or are given in marriage, for they cannot even die anymore." That's immortality. Remember last week's sermon? Jesus came, and in Him and Him alone dwelt in mentality, undying nature. Remember He said, "I am He who was dead, but behold, I am alive for evermore." And because they, He says, goes on and says, that because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Verse 37, "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about that when he says, in talking in reference to God, that God is the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." And then he went on and said, "Because God is not the God of the dead, He is the God of the living." So what did he say? He said, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are alive. They're not dead. God isn't a God of the dead, He's a God of the living. And if He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then they're alive. And so has every and anyone who has ever died in the Lord. They had not died, they are alive. And they are with Him in paradise. And they're just as much alive today as they were when they lived in this physical, mortal, perishable body. They're still alive. They're still alive. And then I heard some people are like angels. Have you ever heard that some people are like angels? You know, they're always up in the air harping about something. Doesn't say we will be angels. It says we will be what? Like angels. What does that mean? We'll be undying. We will be mortal. We'll be eternal beings just like angels are. That's all he meant by that. 1 Peter 1:10 through 12, Peter gives all this explanation as to this salvation. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all these prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come, made careful search and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was predicting the suffering of Christ and the glories that was to follow. Now, I want you to catch that. What were they looking into? What were they wanting to see and to understand? Not just the time in which Jesus was going to be born, die, and raised from the grave. They wanted to be able to look into what was going to follow. What did they say was going to follow? The glories that was going to follow. Wow. Well, that means Peter, James, and John. That means Paul. And them guys are all alive. They're sharing in the glory of God right now. You understand that? That's what they were looking into. That's what they wanted to know about, is what God had promised and what He was preparing and what He was going to give. That immortality, that undying promise of an eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus asked the question. You believe that? You're an eternal being. You already have an eternal aspect inside of you. You all were born again of that imperishable, incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. You already have inside of you this imperishable, incorrupt, eternal seed, the Word of God. God says, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. You already have inside of you this incorruptible seed, this imperishable seed, the word of God. And at your birth, when you were baptized into Christ, you received into your body the indwelling of an eternal spirit, the spirit of the living God. He is in you. And if you have that spirit, the Bible says that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall at that day quicken your mortal body, transform it, change it, and raise you from the dead, the perishable taking on imperishable, the mortal taking on immortality, the natural becoming spiritual. Why? Because you already have the eternal seed, the imperishable seed. You already have the eternal aspect of God's Word living inside of you in the Spirit of the living God. God is in you. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is right inside of you. It's there right now. And if you have that Spirit, He who raised Jesus from the dead will raise your mortal body from the dead also. Get it? Not only is that true, but you have another element that is so much and so powerful. You have within you the love of an eternal God. Love now abides in you. You are rooted and grounded in the love of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. Now abides faith, hope, and love. But you see, love is eternal. Because God is eternal. You understand that? And so when God filled you up with His Spirit, He filled you up, the vacuum of your life, He filled you up with His love. And we're to be comprehending with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God that we have found in Jesus Christ. You are alive, and you are never going to die. Yeah, the body will go back to the ground, but you are never going to die. When your spirit leaves your body, it is going to go. You are going to go to be with the Lord in paradise. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You believe that? You see, that's why I preach this book. Because there's no other book out there that gives man that promise. You realize that? This wonderful book, this book from God, is the only book that promises man undying eternal life. And he offered that to us freely by allowing his son to go to the cross and die for us and give his life for us. In our text, Paul said, "You fool." You see, a fool is somebody who has knowledge and ability but acts in direct contrary to it. Right now, spring is here. Right now, you and I saw nature die, go to rest. In that time frame of nature going to rest, some of you probably planted tulip bulbs or irises. And over the process of doing that, you didn't see it, but you knew what was happening was that bulb was dying. It was corrupting. It was imperishable. It was perishable bulb, and it was going to rotten. But inside of that bulb was an embryo. And if that rottenness did not take place, that embryo would not break forth and bust up from the ground, searching for the light that permeates and gives it life. You get in a picture? It's going to develop roots, isn't it? And it's going to receive all the resources it needs for it to grow and mature and develop. And what's it going to do? Produce after its own kind. Isn't that what every seed does? Isn't that what every seed does? Isn't that what every seed does? Wake up, people. God in his infinite wisdom has seen his wisdom, his power, and has made it clear. And through the things that he has made, we have just experienced what the Bible is talking about. A rest, a dying, a coming alive, and a breaking forth of life, and reaching for the light. In him was light. He is the light of the world. Remember, God's first created act was let there be light. Because if there wasn't light, there couldn't be life. You getting it? You seeing it? You understand that? And that's exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. People, don't miss it. I know that Satan out there is having a heyday getting all these preachers that say that baptism has nothing to do with our salvation. Well, let me show you what Paul said in Romans chapter 6. With just the illustration I just gave you, listen to what he says happens to one who is scripturally baptized. Because when you plant that bulb, for it to rotten, there's got to be water. Right? Huh? And it's the water that causes the outer shell. I mean, think about an acorn, Lloyd. Because you can't go out to Lloyd and take a step and not step on an acorn. Well, an acorn's pretty hard-shelled, aren't they? Huh? And for that hard-shelled acorn, it takes a lot of water for it to rotten and soften that shell enough so the embryo inside of it can break forth and produce a tree, an oak tree. Right? 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 Okay. Well, I want you to understand something, people. You have an outer shell that's got to be removed from you, too. And if that outer shell isn't removed, you cannot be resurrected to life and walk in the newness of life. And so what Paul says here is very clear to me. He says, therefore, we are buried into what? What are you buried in? Water. How much water? Enough water for one to be totally immersed, covered over, right? So we are buried with him through what? Through what? From baptism. Here's water, the eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? They sacked the chariot, Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip immersed him, baptized him, right? So here we have this buried with him through baptism into what? What does it say? Into death. You see, when you were baptized, you were supposed to have died. you died. Remember, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is what? The embryo. The embryo. Christ in you. The hope of glory. I don't live anymore. The embryo now is inside of me. He who came to give us life more abundantly, who is the life, now is inside of this shell, this mortal body. Okay? And so what has God done in His infinite wisdom? He gave you your body to be the seed that would be planted. Get it? Beginning it? In order of that aspect, and He says that we then, as it is, are baptized into His death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the, what? Glory of the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life. For if, that's a conditional clause. A lot of people got wet. They did it because their friends were doing it. They did it because, well, that's what our church teaches I need to do. I'm going to get baptized because that, I'm telling you, people, that which is not of faith is sin. You need to understand not just what you're doing. You understand what God is doing. That's why Paul said in Colossians 2:12 that baptism is faith in the operation of God. What is He doing? Well, what is He doing? He said that you and I are united. That Greek word united is like the context of coming into, being joined to one. We are united with Him in the likeness of His death. Certainly then, we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this. You got it? Knowing this. That means you understand what I'm about ready to say. Knowing what? Knowing that the old self was, what does it say? Crucified with Him. Put to death. Remember what Paul said? I have been crucified with Christ. When was Paul crucified? With Christ. Ananias comes. Lays his hands on Saul. Receives his sight. And then he says what? Saul? Why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away, what? Washing away your sins. Therefore, he said, you're crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be, what? Done away with, so that we would no longer be a slave to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. Therefore, consider yourselves indeed to be dead. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. And that's why you could be resurrected out of that watery grave through the power of God's Spirit, which was given to you, and you were raised from the dead to walk in a newness of life. Now, this is very important. Okay? It's very important. I'm going to have to jump ahead here a little bit, but this is very important. In Revelation 25, are you listening? It says, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection, for over these the second death has no power over them. What? You mean there's a first resurrection, and then there's going to be another resurrection? Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. Because in the Bible, in Ephesians 2:6, the Bible says we were raised us up with Him, has seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you came up out of that water, you were raised in the likeness of His resurrection, and then He ascended, and He is now seated on the right hand of God. What does that mean then? If you are in Christ, where are you? Come on. You're seated with Him. Where? In the right hand of God, waiting to be revealed. The Bible talks about us being hidden in Christ. Hidden in Christ. Waiting for God to unveil His kingdom, His church, the body. And that indeed is the measuring rod by which He's going to judge the world. So when you came up out of that water, how high were you resurrected? You understand God's mystery? the unfolding of His Word and His teaching and how powerful it is, and that when God raised you out of that grave of water baptism, He raised you all the way up in Christ to be seated with Him in the right hand of God, and that's exactly where you are if you're a child of His right now. You're already in heaven. Get it? You're already there waiting to be revealed. Yeah, you are. So you fool. That's just crazy to me that we cannot see the beauty of the Word. The seed is planted, and it's planted into your life, into your heart, and it is true. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is in you, then that same Spirit is going to raise that mortal body that you are living in right now, is going to be raised from the grave, the sea, everyone and all that are in the grave. What's going to happen is that your soul is going to be transformed. It's going to be changed. How quickly? How quickly? In the twinkling of an eye. That which is sown is perishable, raised imperishable. Sown in dishonor, raised to glory. Sown in weakness, to power. Sown natural, to spiritual. If there is a natural body, you must and you will bear the spiritual body. If there is an earthly body, there is going to be a heavenly body. And how fast? Boom! Before you can even twinkle. A twinkle of an eye is how quickly it's going to happen. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you glad you're a child of God? There's no grave. Grave has no victory anymore. You know that? It has no victory. It may have a sting, like Larry and James and them are feeling the separation that has occurred because of Ruth going to be with heaven. That still has a sting, but it has no victory. Why? Because the grave is empty. Got it? And that same life is what Jesus came to bear light to and to shine it clearly to you and me as part of this great kingdom of God that someday, no matter when, because we know that when Jesus comes, and as He wrote to the Thessalonians, to the Apostle Paul, I would not have you to be ignorant, or would I want you to not have this understanding that the dead in Christ are going to do what? The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up into the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I don't know if that promise is yours. I don't know if you've been immersed into Christ, if you had your sins washed away so that the Holy Spirit of God could come and dwell in you. I don't know that, but you do. And when Peter stood on Pentecost, he told those people to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Spirit, you don't belong to God. And if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you will not be raised to life. You will be raised from the dead, but to judgment. Is that clear? Is that clear? You understand why the Bible warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to quench the Holy Spirit? You understand how important it is that you live your life in such a way that the Holy Spirit can continue to dwell in you? If you sell your life back into marrying the world into fornication, I guarantee you this, the Holy Spirit is not going to stay. He will leave. He's not going to dwell in a temple that has again allowed itself to go back into the slavery of sin. You understand that? It's not. It's not. Someday, golden daybreak is going to break. Clouds will come. Trumpets will sound. The archangels and all that are in the grave will hear His voice. And when all my labors and trials are over, and I am on that beautiful shore, and when I should look upon His beautiful face, oh, that will be glory. Glory for me. 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 Because I'm going to become like Him. The Bible says when you see Him, you will become like Him. Let's stand together and sing this closing hymn.